Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What voices do you listen to? Now, I'm not implying people are crazy at hearing voices. And I mean, maybe you do, but that's another story altogether. But in the world, what voices do you listen to? Now we all listen to some voices. Just now you're listening to my voice, hopefully. But we listen to the news, we listen to our TVs, we listen to various forms of social media. I don't know what things you may be into. We may be reading newspapers and books, and as we're reading, we're really listening to the voice of the author of those things, aren't we? And in fact, we listen to an awful lot of voices. And sometimes, maybe we're falling into a bit of a trap where we're always listening to one sort of voice and not listening to other voices. Sometimes, one of the dangers, I think, of social media and our modern technology is we're listening to those voices and not listening to the voices of those around us, our families, our family, our friends. How often are we listening to God's voice amongst all those other voices? We saw last week that one of the aspects of Advent was and is waiting, literally, waiting for God. And we saw that in the Old Testament there were hundreds of years people were waiting for the Messiah, looking forward to his coming. God's timing isn't our timing, that we heard Ray read this morning. For God, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. We're on different schedules, one might say. But in that waiting, I hope you didn't get the wrong impression last week. It's not waiting around doing nothing. We're going to have a bit of a look about the purpose of that waiting. And this morning, we're going to start again with the Isaiah passage. Remember that passage we heard that starts off wonderfully with comfort, comfort my people, pointing out that God is going to do great things. Things are going to start happening. So in particular, verse 3, which we have up there, we have this verse about a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The prophet is telling us that God is going to supply a voice. And this voice is telling us to do what? To prepare a way for our God. Prepare a path for the Lord. So one of the things we're supposed to be doing whilst we are waiting in Advent is preparing. Preparing for the coming of the King. The coming of a king is no small matter. So there's logic that preparation is needed. We're coming up to Christmas. Most of us will find that we need to do preparation. We've got to get the tree ready. We've got to start planning the food. We've got to, if we're travelling to go to someone else, we've got to prepare for that. If we've got family coming to visit us, we've got to prepare. There's preparation involved. And one of the reasons God gives us waiting is time for preparation. But the preparation here, notice, isn't just go out there and work it out. It's preparation that is tied to listening to a voice. Not just any voice, but the voice of God. So how do we hear this voice of God. As we've been pointing out, the Old Testament is the scriptures that the early church had. The Old Testament is Jesus' Bible. So when he talks about the scriptures, he's talking about what we call the Old Testament. So how did this voice work back then? Well, it worked through these guys, prophets. A prophet would often come saying, "Thus says the Lord. Here is what God wants to tell you. Here is the message of God. Here is what you need to do." Often what people needed to do as we read through scripture is stop doing all the bad stuff, turn back to God, worship him, love God, love your neighbour. And that is told time and time again. What the prophets were doing was pointing people back to the word of God. And in fact, they may not have realised it at the time, but their very words would become part of the word of God. But they kept pointing back to what happened with Moses, what happened with the Ten Commandments, what was in those early books of the scripture. They wanted people to go back to God's word, to listen to what God wants you to do. The way to prepare for God's coming is to listen to him, to get things set up the way he wants things set up. That seems pretty commonsensical, doesn't it? If you're preparing a big event, these days you might hop onto to Google and see, you know, what's the etiquette? What are the rules that you normally do for one of these things? And that's not just in the formal sort of things. If we're going to put on a big rock concert, you know, what sort of equipment? You know, where the heck do we get a smoke machine from? You know, all the questions of how do we get all this stuff put together? Likewise, as we are looking towards the coming of our King, what do we need to do? What do we need to get together? What do we need to know? And that is what we're being challenged here in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is challenging us to prepare by listening to the voice. Listen to the voice. This idea of preparation is an interesting one. Does God, and I want you to think about this, does God need us to prepare for his coming? Exactly. That's a no. He doesn't need the preparation. One of the wonderful things about our Heavenly Father is that he's not after servants. Yes, we do serve our King. He's not after servants, robots, pets. He's after a relationship with us. And a relationship means doing stuff together, doesn't it? He wants us involved in his coming. He wants us involved, thus we need to do preparation. He doesn't need us to do anything. He's the creator of the universe. But he wants us involved. He wants us to learn more about him, to be involved with him, to be part of the team. So in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They were getting prepared by getting their relationship with God on track, studying his word, listening to his word, following his commands, following his instructions, listening to what the prophets had to say. We then, in our gospel reading, actually have the same verse again. Did you notice that? Did you notice there was an overlap between, and quite a literal one? Mark is quoting Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Here we are when the Messiah is about to start his ministry. That's where Mark starts. Mark doesn't pull any punches. He starts right at the start of the ministry. But just a little bit before that, and he starts talking about who? John the Baptist, who has lived his life in the wilderness. So he is quite literally a voice in the wilderness proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord. And if you listen to what the gospel reading said, John came baptizing. And do you remember what his baptism was for? For the repentance of sin. He was telling good Jewish people who pretty much believed everyone else in the world needed repenting, but not us. I'm a good Jew. I go to synagogue every Sabbath, go to temple, do my offerings. But he was saying that the Jew, in fact, everyone needs to turn around and get their focus back on God. Come back to listening to what God is saying. Come back to his word. So we had John as this voice. And we hear later from Jesus that John is in fact the last and the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Why is he the last? Because an Old Testament prophet is pointing forward to when Jesus comes. Jesus is here. And so John is pointing to Jesus. John himself in his ministry talks about that he must become less so Jesus can become greater. We read throughout Scripture that there is an overlap of their ministry in those early days. But then John will be arrested and he will be executed. But if you look at John's gospel, one of the things that John the Baptist says about Jesus, notice this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Who's he pointing towards? Jesus. His voice is telling others to follow Jesus. Look, here is Jesus. Here is the one who is going to solve that problem of sin. He's going to put us in a right relationship with God. It's going to come through John. So we've been seeing as we look at Advent that we are following the journey with our spiritual ancestors as they look forward to Jesus' coming. We look back to that, but we are also looking forward to his coming again, aren't we? And so we still have that listening to the voice, preparing. So what does that mean for us today? Well, I draw your attention to this painting. It's probably a bit blurry up there. This is one of the, sometimes we have paintings and other pictures up here. This is one that I've actually seen the real painting of. This is in Wittenberg at the town church. It's part of the altar artwork. So they have a bit of a fancier setup than we do. But I really adore this painting. I have a small print of it and the other altar painting ones. This what we've got up here is me taking a photo of the print I have. Because I did have a photo of the original one, but it was at a bit of shadow, a bit too hard to see. But Luther is the guy on the right up there doing the preaching. But look at what he's doing. Who's he pointing to? Jesus. His right hand is pointing to Jesus. Now, it may be a bit fuzzy there, you may not see, but can you see what his left hand is on? On the Bible. Left hand on the Bible, right hand pointing to Jesus. You have Jesus there, crucified. The movement of his robes that he is wearing on the cross is to signify the Holy Spirit at work. And then the congregation on your left, you've got men and women and children. When you have a bit more crispy, you can see some seem to be talking to each other, others are a bit... Those who he is preaching to are everyday people. All different sorts of walks of life, different sorts of background, young, old, all there. But it's pointing people to Jesus. So the voices, well, one example of the voice is when preaching is done correctly, when it is pointing people to Jesus, when it is based on Scripture, when it is bringing that to everybody. The voice is calling us to prepare, to get our lives right, to confess our sins, to accept forgiveness, to be Jesus people in this world that has heaps of problems. So what does it mean preparing the way for the Lord today? Some suggestions here, and I'm sure you can come up with others. Bible reading and studying. Praying, hearing the word of God in preaching, but not just live like what we're doing now, but listening to recordings of preaching, etc. Spending the time with fellow believers, praising God, serving others. One of the reasons we come together every Sunday for worship here is that we tick a lot of those boxes. Don't we? We're doing a lot of those sort of things. And we need to be doing it. Keep doing it. Because, let's face it, I know myself, as I was putting this list together, it's easy to stop doing just about all of those things. Or if we do them, it's one of those things. How much TV do you watch in a week? How much Bible reading do you do in a week? Or whatever it may be, how much work do you do on your hobby, how much time, you know. We all fall short, don't we? We all could do better. And I'm not trying here to give you, here are a bunch of rules, take home, check them all off. In this preparing, this is what we've got to be, this is where our hearts need to be at. This is what we should be desiring to do, wanting to do. Not being made to do, but wanting to do. We want that relationship with God. We want to know Jesus better. But we can't do this sort of stuff just by being given a list of rules. We've got to repent. We've got to come back to the foot of the cross, confess our sins. We've got to acknowledge and listen to the Holy Spirit within us. Through our baptism, we have God's Spirit within us. He is the one that's going to help us with these things. And when we get things wrong, he's the one that's going to help us each day to keep coming back to the cross, keep confessing, keep getting up and going out and trying to be a Jesus person, knowing that we will, no doubt, mess up and have to repeat that sort of cycle. However, One of the dangers I think we fall into, and I want to encourage us in this morning, is that we know that God is almighty. We know that our Saviour is the creator of the universe. What is there for me to do? When Jesus ascended, the commission given to them was, go unto all nations, baptizing, teaching. Our job is to spread the gospel. Now, yes, in the Great Commission, Jesus does say, go unto all nations. But also remember, do you remember that instance with the guy who was possessed by heaps of demons? Legion, that's the one with the pigs and they all kill themselves. It's the pigs, not. And so after that, I don't know if you've ever thought about the epilogue to that story. This man is now healed. Demons are gone. He's dressed. He's lucid. Do you know what he says to Jesus? I want to follow you. I want to become one of your people. I want to go with you. Now, do you know what Jesus says to him? No. He says to him, no. You go back to your people. You go home. Basically, you become a follower of me by going home. Yes, some of us will be called to go to other places. Some of you were called to come here to Esperance. Sometimes there is going that is geographical. Sometimes it's going and being a Jesus person in your own home, in your own community, in your workplace. And once again, that is preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. But we don't do it in our own strength. It is through the Spirit within us. It is through all that Jesus has done for us. It is through his death and resurrection. So, God wants us involved. He wants us as part of the preparation. Not that he needs us, but he wants us. Not only does he want us, but he's going to help us and be actively involved in helping us do the preparation. So talk about no stress preparation. He's going to be there. But he doesn't want us just sitting around waiting. He wants us active in our waiting. Active in following the commands of Jesus. Active in listening to the Holy Spirit. Active in wanting to know our Saviour better. Hear the voice proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.